I'm just going to have to do my best to fight him off using the close combat moves I've learned. I just pray that nothing too terrible has happened to Tam or Baibong. I'll never forgive myself if either of them are... Gah! I can't even think the word inside my own head. I continue my limping trek to the PC Mahalo, moving as fast as I possibly can. When I finally make it to the airlock, it's empty of any crew, but the PC is still there. There's hope. I hobble through the short corridor to the other side, half tripping over the threshold that will bring me into the PC. Pausing at the entrance, I tip my head to the side, hoping I won't hear anything but the whirring of equipment and electronics. I don't even hear that. It's dead silent inside. So far, so good. I continue on, dipping my head to fit through the small opening that leads onto the tiny flight deck. This craft is similar to one I've been on before that my father owned and used for cruising around the installation we lived on when I was about 14. Taking the seat centered on the console, I press the buttons that will tell me the status of this ship's onboard computer. I smile when a green light begins blinking. The panel's output monitor indicates ready operations are on hold. Gus and Tam did a good job of sweeping this baby's systems. The onboard computer has been wiped clean of Captain Bob's signature and awaits an introduction to the one that was recently loaded. Mine. I put my hand over the glassine plate and press the two buttons that I know will start the sequence of the PC's commibot recognizing me as that preloaded captain. I hereby claim this bucket of junk as my own. Just try to fly her out of here now, Captain Boob. A few seconds later, the light changes from red to yellow and then to green as the commibot confirms my biorhythms and fingerprints. A couple seconds later, the entire dashboard lights up and a voice comes over the comm box to my right. Hello, Captain Cass. I am Leilani, and I am at your service. Rather than answer, I power down the system to conserve energy before getting up to check the rest of the ship. In the dim cabin lighting, I explore the small back end of it. There's a stacked bunk, a head, a clothing cleaning compartment, a minuscule galley, and a tiny shower with a sink, which looks so clean I'm sure it's never been used for anything but storage. The entire closet-sized space is packed with boxes, the contents of which aren't discernible through their opaque enclosures. Now that I know no one but I can escape on this pod, I turn to leave it. The sounds of someone coming in my direction make me hurry to get out as fast as I can. I hop on my one good leg, not wanting to be caught in this small space with no room to maneuver, just in case it's not one of my crew members around the corner. When I get to the front of the ship where it looks out into the airlock, I'm sickened to see Captain Bob there. He's alone, and his gun is hanging right there on a hook next to him in the airlock. I'm instantly sick to my stomach. What the hell happened to my people? He doesn't give his weapon a single glance. He just moves toward me like a mindless drone, his footsteps heavy but purposeful, his gaze murderous. I become more disgusted by the second with every centimeter that he advances through the airlock toward me. Part of this pirate-induced nausea is coming from the thought of him almost upon me. The other is coming from having to lay eyes on him in general. He's had better days in the looks department, that's for sure. His face is purple. Chunks of vomit and I don't know what else run down the front of his beard and shirt, mingling with a whole lot of blood. A crust has formed in his mustache and beard hairs that makes my stomach flip once, twice, and then a third time. I put my hand on my belly and burp. Oh, God. I whisper as my head spins. I have to put my other hand up above me and hook it over the portal's jamb to keep from falling over. The pirate growls and then starts to yell. Thought you could just... He trips and almost falls, but catches himself just in time by leaning on the side of the airlock. Steal my ship? I shake my head. My crushed throat words can't help me here, but I wish I could tell him that's not what I meant to do. I was never going to take this stupid PC from him. I was going to hand him and his crap ship over to the Alliance and let them decide what to do. This wasn't my fault. He came after me first. I just defended myself. The PC is mine now, only because he went too far. He tried to kill me and he's done something to Tam and Baibong and maybe even Gus and Jeffers too. I don't even want to think about what might have happened to them right now. I have to focus. I have to survive by any means possible. No one would expect me to play nice after this, not even Jeffers. He takes another step in my direction, putting himself at the midway point in the airlock between our ships. My right hand reaches up and joins the other, grabbing the small lip of metal above me that would normally seal the portal into position. My broken finger is screaming in pain, so I do my best to keep it straight while the others bend and hold the portal frame with as much force as possible. I'm probably going to die in the next 60 seconds, but I'll be damned if I'm going to go down without a fight.
You bitch!
He's having a hard time with the whole breathing thing, much like I am, or so it seems, but he's still coming for me. It makes no sense that he could still be walking, unless he's got some robo-parts inside him. Some really screwed-up individuals actually do that, enhance what they have with parts from commie-bots. It makes sense that this guy would be a Franken-pirate. Now I don't feel as bad about smashing his arteries. I do, however, feel like a Class 1 asshole for allowing my friends to go after him. My chest heaves in fear as he takes another 2 steps in my direction. Knowing that he's probably part machine makes him 10 times more dangerous, and that much harder to kill. It doesn't seem fair that a guy already that big can just go and enhance himself like that. There should be a rule against making fights so one-sided.
They told me to kill you first chance I got.
He drools out the last word, leaving more shrapnel in his beard.
But I didn't listen.
More vomit comes out, and this time I see shiny metal pieces mixed in with his last meal. Oh, Jesus, what's worse than vomit? Robo-vomit, that's what. Please don't let me throw up on myself. I swallow over and over, trying to keep the bile down.
No, I didn't listen. Not then. But now, I'm listening.
He's close enough that I can see red in his eyes where there should be white. The blows I delivered to his chest and neck that should have killed him almost did. Or they're in the process of killing him now, and he just won't admit it to himself. I shake my head, trying to convince myself that what I'm hearing and seeing cannot possibly be real. But he just keeps coming. This is no nightmare. This is real life. Sounds come from behind him. Looking over his shoulder, I see a flash of movement. It's Baybong, and he's covered in blood. Hope nearly drowns me in joy.
Bah!
I try to scream, but it comes out as a soggy, sad whisper.
Cass!
He yells. The pirate reaches for me with both arms out. He's just 2 steps away.
Float him!
Baybong yells right before he shuts the airlock on the Anarchy side. I grab the door jamb above me and lift my body up with my arm, back, and bicep muscles, swinging my legs out a bit forward, bent at the waist and knees. One arching swing back and then forward again, and I'm unleashing the last weapon I have at my disposal. An almighty pendulum kick, delivered right into the middle of this stupid Franken pirate's face. My boots make contact with his nose, cracking it and whiplashing his head. He stands perfectly still for the few seconds it takes my legs to return to a spot under me. Then, as I drop to the floor, he falls over backward in slow motion, his body as stiff as a door. The entire airlock shakes with the force of his weight hitting the floor. I limp over the threshold in reverse and slam my hand on the keypad by the door, shutting the portal to the PC. Safe! I'm safe! He can't get in anymore now that I'm the captain of this hunk of junk. I have to hop on one leg over to the captain's chair because my broken toes aren't usable anymore. Falling into the seat, I bring up comm with the Anarchy, including a visual link. Jeffers' face is there, and he looks as stern as I've ever seen him. I wave weakly.
Hi!
Hello, Captain.
I stare and stare at him, trying to understand what's happening. It seems almost unreal to me that I'm on this tiny PC, and this man is sitting in my chair, casting judgment on me. I won't be surprised if he cuts off the comm and leaves this position and me to rot out here alone. A voice comes over Jeffers' comm, and mine picks it up.
Jeffers, this is Baybong. He's inside the airlock, but he's getting up again. The guy's a fucking monster. Gotta have some AI in him or something. I'm floating him with your permission. I can't reach Captain Cass.
She's here, Baybong, transmitting from the Mahalo.
He shifts his focus to me.
What's the order, Captain? Are we floating the pirate or taking him prisoner?
Both panic and happiness well up in me. They're not going to abandon me. They still recognize me as captain. Then tears come to join the party. I thought I'd killed that goddamned pirate before, and I was okay with that because it was in self-defense. But now that he's safely locked away, it's not so simple. He's alive, and I have to choose whether to kill him again or let him live.
Tam,
I whisper.
Gus.
Jeffrey shakes his head slowly. Tam was stabbed in the abdomen with your knife. He's not dead, but I don't know what I can do for him. Gus is okay. My blood turns cold. I literally break out in goosebumps all over my body as the last bit of warmth leaves me. I have to speak very slowly and carefully to be understood.
Float him.
Tears begin to pour down my face in earnest as Jeffers nods. He transmits to Baybong without breaking eye contact with me.
Captain Cass orders you to float Captain Bob for crimes committed against her crew.
My entire face is trembling with sadness, regret, and I don't even know what else. This is all too much. Too crazy. Tam is dying? I nod my assent to Jeffer's transmission because it's all I'm capable of doing right now. My body jerks a little to the left and then the right as the airlock tethering the PC to the Anarchy is broken off by Baybong on the other side. I'm cast adrift, and about a minute after being released, I see the body of Captain Bob floating by the clear panels, already puffing up and turning blue. I crumple in my seat, laying my head in my arms. Sobs rack my body as I shut off all communications with the DS Anarchy. Chapter 24. Cass? The voice is faint. A woman is calling me. Mom? I lift my head and squint at the clear panel before me. It's black. I'm looking out into the dark. Where in the hell am I? I scan the space around me and it starts to come back. The memory of how I got where I am. I feel sick. Cass, you need to respond. We're starting to get worried over here. This voice is anything but worried. I'm not that out of it that I can't recognize the tone as annoyed. I open my mouth, but when I try to send a word out, it won't work. My throat is killing me. I realize then that I'm wheezing just trying to breathe, but my lungs feel fine. Listen, I'm too busy to be worrying about you. Could you please respond? Now I recognize the voice more fully. It's Lucinda. I press the blinking reach button on the console and wipe away the sleep drool I left on the metal surface as the comm screen comes to life. Lucinda's face is taking up the whole thing. There you are, she says, rolling her eyes. I told you she was there. Baybong shares the screen with her.
Where have you been? We've been trying to reach you for an hour.
He leans in closer.
I thought that fucking pirate had somehow gotten to you.
I shake my head and flutter my fingers from right to left, indicating I saw him dying as he went by my clear panels.
Yeah, we floated his sorry ass. You ready to come home yet?
Home. The word makes me want to cry. But instead, I nod.
Good.
He grins way too hard.
Gus, we're a go.
Go?
I whisper. Lucinda shakes her head. You don't want to know. Just strap in. She gets up and leaves the area. Now all I see is the empty captain's chair where I should be sitting. Baybong returns a few seconds later.
Okay, so we're going to lasso that PC you're in and bring you back.
I frown.
Remember when you told Gus and Tam to disable the PC? Yeah, well, they did a really good job of it. You can't fly the thing back over, so we need to grab you.
I slap myself on the forehead and lean back in the chair.
Hey, don't worry. We've got it covered. Coming up in 10 seconds, 9, 8.
I grab the buckles and straps that'll hold me in my seat. It'll really suck if I die from this ridiculousness after evading death at the hands of a deranged Franken-pirate. I sit back and close my eyes, waiting for fate to deal me my next hand. My entire body jerks with the ship when they finally make contact. It feels like we've been slammed into the side of a warship.
Booyah!
Baybong yells.
Bring it in now, bring it in!
He leans in toward me.
Did you feel anything?
I nod, then roll my eyes.
Not too much, I hope.
His attention lifts to a screen above him.
No, 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 not like that. Careful.
He leans in and lowers his voice.
Fucking Ginger. Don't ever let him fly any of your rigs, okay? He's seriously dangerous.
He looks up again.
Easy! Jesus, man, I told you that shit is hard to procure. If you break it, you have to find me another one. I'm not kidding. And you're gonna have to pay with your left nut, too, trust me.
My body jerks again, and I hear a loud scraping on the hull of the PC. My hands go up and grab the console to steady my chair that keeps bucking with the movement of the ship. I hiss with the pain it causes my finger.
Guess we're going to need a little hull work when we pull into the next station, eh?
Beibong tries to laugh his joke off, but it's not working. He grimaces as another squeal of metalloid on metalloid rings out on both ships. Finally, the movement stops, and I hear the banging that can only mean an airlock is being set up just beyond the door to my right.
We good?
He shouts to someone. Yes, airlock in place, says Lucinda. Beibong grins at me.
We're docked. Come to Papa.
I shut off the comm and turn my seat to face the door. I have to take a few deep breaths before I can work up the courage to actually stand and hobble over to the portal. Everyone on the other side of this thing knows I gave the order to float a man. They also include a guy who took a knife to the gut. My knife. Who might not live to see the end of this day. Just the idea of Tam lying there, bleeding out, has me moving faster. I need to talk to him. I need to tell him I'm sorry. I open the door and see Beibong through the small window at the other end of the airlock on his side. Once the systems between us indicate all is safe, we open each end of the dock and Beibong comes striding through.
Come on,
he says, jamming his shoulder up into my armpit and turning around to face the anarchy.
We need to go see Tam.
I nod, hopping on my good foot along next to him. I hold my broken finger out in front of me to keep from bumping it on anything. It's swollen to twice its normal size, and I'm guessing so are my bad toes. My boot is tighter than it should be, and my entire foot is killing me.
Got your ass kicked, didn't ya?
Beibong asks. There's a slight note of humor to his question, but I get it. He's never seen anyone get the better of me before, and he's cleaned up plenty of my messes, made apologies for me, warned people not to try and get revenge for being shown up by a girl. He probably thinks it's about time I got something broken.
You could say that. How's Tam?
My voice is scratchy, but better, my throat burning with the effort of trying to talk above a whisper.
Not good. His brother's freaking out.
You think he's going to make it?
Not without better MI than we have on this boat, that's for sure.
I hop faster.
Here.
Beibong stops and picks me up like a baby.
Put me down, asshole.
No, you're too damn slow.
He starts to jog, making my hand and foot ache with the percussions, but I don't say a word. I'm still alive and kicking, unlike my engineer. We get to the infirmary, and I can instantly see why everyone is so worried, even though we aren't even through the doorway yet. Tam's face is white. He's in shock, and probably sitting on death's doorstep. Beibong drops my legs, and I limp forward to claim a position on the other side of the bed, opposite Gus. Taking Tam's hand, I squeeze it.
Hey, man,
I whisper as loud as I can.
He's not talking anymore,
Gus says. He's been crying, his voice hoarse from it. I look over my shoulder at Jeffers. My whispers are getting clearer, but not any louder.
What did you do?
Jeffers joins me at my side.
Did my best to stop the bleeding.
He looks over at the silver tray nearby. On it rests my knife.
It's a wicked blade, though. It did some damage internally that I can't do anything about with what I have here.
I nod and look down at the patient's complexion. His spots stand out on his face like someone drew them or tattooed them on. His eyes are closed, but he's breathing. Unfortunately, his respirations are shallow and not very inspiring. I keep thinking the next one will be his last.
Tam, we're going to fix this. I promise we're going to fix this.
Beibong nudges me, probably telling me to shut up, but I ignore him.
I will fix this.
What are you going to do?
Gus asks, looking up at me. His voice is so full of hope I nearly gag with it. I've not just made a promise to a dying man. I've made it to his twin brother.
Come on,
I whisper to Beibong,
Pick me up. Bring me to the flight deck.
Baibong doesn't argue. He just grabs me, throws me over his shoulder, and starts running.
Not like this!
I try to yell, but he doesn't listen. He probably can't even hear me over the sound of his boots banging on the grates below us.
Corridors are too narrow. This is faster.
The pounding of every step sends his big shoulder into my guts. I almost make it all the way to our destination before vomiting.
Aw, man, did you have to?
He asks, dropping me back on my feet.
Son of a bitch!
I try to yell, but it comes out like a horror show screech.
What?
He's looking behind him, seeing if I got any vomit on his back.
I can't understand a damn thing you're saying.
I shove him out of the way and hop, skip, and jump up to the captain's chair. Once there, I call up a frequency that I know by heart. Every OSG recruit learns it and commits it to memory, just in case we're ever caught out in the dark and in need of a rescue. I lean down very close to the comm box and speak as slowly and as carefully as I can, hoping my words will come out clearly enough to be understood.
Warship Baltimore, this is the DS Anarchy, extending a reach. Over.
Chapter 25.
What in the hell are you doing?
Baibong yells at me. My eardrum is ringing from the vibrations of his anger.
You can't call them over here. We're waiting for the Alliance to show up.
I hold my hands out to shut him up. I can't yell back, so he needs to calm down to listen. When he's chill enough to just fume and glare at me, I respond.
I realize that, but do you see them out there anywhere?
We both turn to the clear panel that shows nothing but distant stars, planets, and moons.
This is the only way to save Tam that I know of, unless you have other ideas.
I don't know.
He growls, the anger down a notch or two.
Maybe we could fetch that bloated pirate and take his AI out. Maybe whatever he has could work for Tam.
I'd try to laugh, but it hurts too much.
Are you kidding? Are you that kind of surgeon? Are you that kind of crazy?
Baibong says nothing because we both already know the answer to my question. He's no surgeon, that's for damn sure. He's better at blowing things up than carefully slicing things and putting them back together.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
At least move us to a new location first,
he begs. I'm about to argue, but he's making too much sense for that. I should have come up with that idea myself, but I'm obviously too panicked to be sly.
Fine. Give us a few clicks to work with.
I sit down in the captain's chair while he fires up the comm and the thrusters.
Attention all crew members,
Baibong says.
We are about to take a little voyage. Nothing to worry your pretty little heads over. But if you're carrying any scissors, please secure them at this time. And do not, whatever you do, run with them.
I stroke my neck, trying to calm the burning soreness in the front of it that feels like it's slowly wrapping around to my spine. Baibong gives us 25% aft thrust and a destination 50 clicks from where we are currently. With our gravity algos working to negate the inertial displacement, the crew will probably think we've only gone 2 clicks, and we'll get there in less than a minute if my quick math is any good. I don't even sense the ship moving, but I can see through the clear panel and my instrumentation that it is.
50 seconds remaining. Come on, Overshine, don't answer me yet. Just give me 45 more seconds.
A voice comes out over the comm as we're slowing down at our new location. I breathe out a sigh of relief and hold up a hand at Baibong so he knows to maintain our current position. His hands work the array to set up our anchor point.
DS Anarchy, this is Warship Baltimore. Reach accepted. State your position.
I'd like to speak to your Captain Baltimore, if possible. Tarek Overshine, I believe his name is.
Hopefully he hasn't been replaced or relieved of duty in the day and a half we've been apart. There's a long pause, and Baibong takes the opportunity to give me 2 more cents worth of advice.
We just got rid of those guys, and now you're going to call them over? You're going to regret this, I know you are.
Just shut up and try for once in your life to support me.
Support you? Support you? That's all I've ever done since I met you. Maybe you haven't noticed it, but I'm the guy always walking around behind you cleaning up your messes.
I snort.
Yeah, right. And you aren't ever making any messes that others have to clean up, is that it?
He just glares at me because we're hearing a voice again on the comm. DS Anarchy, this is Captain Overshine. His voice gives me both chills and thrills. He is my salvation and could be my demise, too. Beibong is probably right about me eventually regretting this conversation. But what else could I do? I have a crew member dying. I can't just let that go because I'm afraid of what will happen to me. I hold my hand on my throat, hoping for the pain to subside. Captain, thank you for accepting our reach. I had a little problem with a rogue pirate, and now I've got an injured crew member on board who needs more MI than we can handle. Beibong leans into the comm at his station, links up, and speaks.
Make that 2 crew members.
I flip him off as Overshine comes back to us.
Is it 1 or 2? State the nature of the injuries.
I glare at Beibong, warning him silently not to cut in again. Knife wound to the abdomen, couple of broken bones, crushed windpipe. I try to clear my throat, but it hurts too much, so I give up. It may have sounded like I burped over the comm.
Cass?
Overshine says.
Is that you?
Yeah, it's me.
I sound completely defeated, which is perfect since that's how I feel.
I take it you're the one with the crushed windpipe.
I don't bother answering. His voice comes over again, only this time it's quieter, like he's trying to keep his own crew from listening in.
I wondered when someone was going to finally give you a run for your money.
Beibong strides over and pushes me away from the comm, keeping me from saying what I really, really want to say to that arrogant jerk. He leans over so he can speak into my array.
Captain Overshine, our coordinates are X-ray 369, Yankee 640, Zulu 120, trajectory Kilo. We are anchored.
Coordinates accepted. We are en route to your position, ETA 19 minutes. Remain anchored until further notice.
Yes, Captain, we'll do that.
Beibong shuts off the comm and glares at me. I glare back. We stay that way for a really long time, neither wanting to be the first to back down. His face could be carved from stone, it's so smooth, so perfect, so without any expression at all.
You blinked,
he finally says, backing away toward his console.
Fuck that, you blinked.
I look away and close my lids a few times to lubricate my eyeballs. I hate playing that game with him. He always wins.
Didn't.
He turns around and sits down with his back to me. If I had anything on me that could detach, I'd throw it at his head. But all I have as weapons right now are insults.
Just because you're a slant eye doesn't mean I can't tell when you're blinking.
He snorts.
Don't be jealous.
We sit in silence for a long time. He messes around with his array, trying to pick up the approaching warship, and I chew on my lip as I consider our situation. Tam's in the infirmary, already on the way to dying. If his heart and brain stop before the Baltimore gets here, I know we can keep him alive until they're in a position to intervene. That's the good news. The bad news is that they might have to put some AI in him to get him back on his feet. And I never trust those part-human bastards who aren't 100% flesh and blood. I've always been a purist at heart, and that damn Captain Boob certainly isn't inspiring me to change my thinking on that. But maybe I'll have to make an exception for the twins. This hunk of junk ship is not going to fly without those two in the engine room putting out fires. Jeffers is probably going to be nervous about the OSG being so close, so I'll need to explain to him that it's not meant to get him in trouble. And who the hell knows what's up with Macon or Lucinda? Probably both of them would rather shoot me than look at me. Macon will probably freak, thinking I'm going to give him up to the OSG. There's no way I can hide him away, though. Those OSG bastards are going to be all up in my butt as soon as we're docked together.
Gah! Everything is awesome on the DS Anarchy. So glad I won this ship in a card game.
If I ever see Landglade again, I'm going to kick him in the balls. I'm starting to think he lost on purpose.
Chapter 26. I'm standing in the cargo bay with Jeffers on my right and Beibong on my left. Gus is with his brother, monitoring the heart-slash-lung machine he's hooked to, the only thing keeping Tam alive right now. The airlock is open, thanks to Lucinda. The girl with short black hair I remember seeing from the last time we were boarded by the OSG appears on the WS Baltimore's end. She waits until two of her armed crewmates are behind her before she steps over to our side. Courtesy says they should leave their weapons in there, but of course they aren't into the whole manners thing. They board my ship with their firepower strapped to their legs and slung over their backs. "Where is the patient?" she asks. I nod at Jeffers before looking at her. "Nice to see you again. My man Jeffers will show you the way." Her eyes flash annoyance, but she nods and follows behind him, one of her crewmates joining her. The other remains at the entrance to the airlock on our side. Baybong leans in closer.
"You want me here or in there with Tam?"
I turn to face him so the guy at the door can't read my lips and whisper in his ear.
"You stay here. If anything happens to me, you're in charge. Go meet up with you-know-who, you-know-where, and continue on as planned."
He frowns, trying to speak low without looking too suspicious about it.
"I'm not leaving here without you or Tam."
I shrug and glance over my shoulder, just in time to see Overshine appearing at the far end of the airlock.
"You might not have a choice."
I separate from Baybong and walk over to meet the captain of the WS Baltimore at my door.
"Captain,"
he says, stopping and giving me a slight nod. His eyes roam the cargo area, taking in details most people would probably miss.
"Captain," I say back. "Thank you for your assistance."
"Haven't given any yet,"
he says, his eyes back on me.
"You cleaned your ship."
"Just a vacuum cycle."
"Any reason you were hanging around out here in the middle of nowhere?"
He puts his hands behind his back, standing at military rest, but I know better. He's on high alert, waiting for me to do something crazy or for some big surprise to come out at him. I shrug. "Just conserving energy. Not looking for trouble. Cleaning up." I sweep my arm around the area. "As you can see, we still have some work to do." I rub my throat, hoping he'll get the hint that I don't exactly feel like being chatty. The guy behind him glances at me and then stares straight ahead again.
"What happened?"
He gestures at me with his forehead.
"To your face and your throat."
"Some guy? A pirate." I rub my throat again.
"That his rig out there?"
Overshine turns slightly to recognize the PC that's still strapped to the ship, albeit farther down the hole than it was originally. We had to move it back to make room for the docking maneuver with the WS Baltimore. Baybong's ridiculous lasso system is working well enough that we can use it as a temporary sling holding the PC to us. I nod.
"And he just showed up out of nowhere."
I shift my weight to my other foot and then wince. He frowns at me. Hoping to distract him from his last question, I hold out my foot. "Managed to break a toe or two?" I lift my hand. "And a finger?" I smile. "Not so great for the balance." His eyebrows go up.
"Sounds like you took a beating."
I nod. He had some AI going for him. It wasn't a fair fight. A jaw muscle twitches out at the side of his face.
"You should be looked at."
I wave him off. "Nah, I'm fine."
"I insist."
I open my mouth to protest, but he's already turning away.
"Corporal, see the captain to our infirmary."
"Yes, sir,"
says the guy standing at the doorway. He turns sideways, expecting me to just do what I'm told. I try like hell not to lose my temper. "In case you haven't noticed, I have a ship to run here." Overshine's smile is tight.
"Not to worry. We won't let anything happen to your ship while you're otherwise occupied."
He holds a hand out and gestures for me to go ahead to the airlock.
"After you."
"I need to wait for my crew member Tam to be taken care of." Overshine puts his hand on his chest.
"I will personally see that he is escorted onto the ship and treated. You'll be of more use to your crew when you can walk, talk, and flip a bird properly. Trust me."
My jaw goes off kilter as I consider the fact that he just tried to be humorous. I'm pretty sure that's what he was doing anyway. I don't remember him being the type to crack jokes, though. The confused expression on his crewmate's face tells me I'm not alone in this. "I have two hands, you know," I say, walking past him. "Two birds." It's not going to do me any good to argue with him on this, so I act like it's my idea to go through the airlock and into the belly of this beast of a warship. The footsteps behind me can only belong to him. He acts like he owns the place instead of just captaining it. I smirk. "I own my ship, asshole. You're just piloting one."
Take a right,
he says. I limp to the right as instructed, but go as fast as I can so he won't be inspired to try and help me.
Tell me why you're really out here,
he says. His voice is closer, really close. I'm surprised I can't feel his breath on the back of my neck.
I already told you. Cleaning up. You've made some modifications to your cargo area.
Notice that, huh? I knew he was scanning the space. He probably thinks he'll find clues of my plans hanging on the walls or something. He always did underestimate me.
Kind of hard to miss. You missing your level workouts?
I snort.
Yeah, right. You could always come back, you know. All would be forgiven.
I slow down so he can catch up. Then I stop and he does the same, standing next to me. Don't think for a single second that I have any interest in being involved with the OSG, I say in a low but serious voice. With the problem I'm having in my throat, I sound like a wounded animal or something.
You might not have a choice. It would be better if you came back on your own decision before...
He glances up the hallway in the direction we came from. Before what? He holds up a hand and then straightens, backing away from me by 2 paces. A shadow stretches along the wall coming toward us, and then I hear sounds. 2 seconds later, the girl appears again. She's striding fast but slows when she sees us standing there. Sir. She looks at him and then me, then back to him. Her left nostril flickers annoyance.
Corporal, what's the status of the engineer?
I frown, trying to remember if anyone specified it was an engineer down. He's on life support.
Can we help him?
I believe we can. Medical is arranging transport.
Excellent. And?
He towers over her, making me shake on her behalf just watching it. I hope she has a good answer for him because I'm getting nervous not knowing what he wants. She glances at me for a fraction of a second before she responds. Arrangements have been made for the other. She looks at the ground. I get the distinct impression that she's ashamed. That's weird. What did she do on my ship that would make her feel that way? I'm getting really, really bad vibes about this, but I don't want to challenge his authority in front of this girl. I know there's no faster way to get on Overshine's bad side.
Report to your station and await further orders.
Once she's gone off in the other direction, I fold my arms as best I can with my broken finger and fix him with a stare.
What was that all about?
He puts his hand on my elbow and tries to urge me forward.
Nothing you need to worry about.
I refuse to go, wincing a little when his efforts to get me moving hurt my toes. Actually, I am worried. Anything you try to keep a secret from me is going to make me worry. He smirks at me.
Then you're in for a hell of a trip.
Trip? My eyebrows go up into my hairline. You think I'm going somewhere? He shrugs, his eyes flicking to the right before settling on me again.
Yes. To the infirmary, remember?
I shove his arm off me. Don't play games, Overshine. I'm not in the mood.
This has nothing to do with your mood, and you know it. You're not in any kind of physical condition to go anywhere but to the infirmary. So stop delaying, stop being afraid, and just go.
He moves ahead and acts like he's not going to wait for me. Afraid? I'm not afraid. I hobble, trying to keep up.
Sure you're not. That's why you'd rather hang out with a broken finger and a crushed windpipe than have a doctor look at you.
I'm not a fan of the laser, but that doesn't make me afraid. I can hear a grin in his voice as his words drift over his shoulder.
I still remember you yelling your head off after your level 6 contest.
That guy cut half my ear off! I yell at the top of my lungs, wincing when it feels like I just stripped my windpipe of a layer of skin.
You always were a big crybaby.
I glare at his back, thinking how if I didn't have a broken toe and a broken finger, and he wasn't the captain of a big-ass warship, I would totally run over there, jump on his back, and gouge his eyes out. He's so lucky, he has no idea. He turns around and chuckles.
I knew that'd piss you off. You should watch out for that ego of yours. Gonna get you in trouble someday.
I snort. Ha, that's a good one. Still nursing that wound Macon gave you in 8s? Is that what your problem is? That was the best challenge ever, when Overshine got stabbed in the dick. No one ever screamed like he did on that day. Overshine stops suddenly and turns around, his face going red. His voice drops so low, I barely hear it.
Don't make me sorry I helped you out.
I keep hobbling, only stopping when I'm really close. Why not? You going to break my other bird? I hold up my good middle finger right in front of his face. He grabs it and acts like he's going to break it, but then he doesn't. He just holds it. We both look down at it, and then up at each other. Let my bird go, asshole.
Don't put your bird in my face.
A speck of spittle hits me right in the eye. I close it and stare at him with the only good one I have left. Say it, don't spray it, dude! A very slow smile creeps up onto his face. Then he starts to laugh.
You are so ridiculous.
I try not to smile, but I can't help joining him. I'm not the one holding someone's only bird captive. I look down and so does he. His laugh and smile disappear, and he lets out a long sigh, his shoulders going up and down with the effort.
Cass.
I yank my hand out of his. Yeah, Overshine?
I have a name, you know.
He says.
A first name.
Yeah. I back up a step. I know. It's Captain. You have something to say to me? He looks up, his face once more a mask.
Yeah, I do. Don't hate me for what's about to happen.
A cold wave comes over me, and goosebumps break out across my body. What are you talking about? It's then that I hear several sets of boots clomping down the hallway toward us, from the direction we just came.
No!
Yells a voice I recognize.
No, I don't want to go with you! You can't make me!
I'm instantly nauseated. What did you do? I ask Overshine, my voice turning into a plea.
I had no choice.
He moves to the side of the corridor and shoves me over to join him. I lean on the wall as a group of uniformed personnel go by, Macon held in the middle of them, his hands trussed together and attached to a ring around his neck. He sees me at the same time as I see him.
Cass! Why? Rollo! What's going on?
I try to yell. It comes out more like a goat's bleating. I turn my ire on Overshine.
What are you doing? You can't take my crew in custody like that!
He's part of your crew?
Macon's looking over his shoulder at me as he's being dragged off. I look from him to Overshine, stuck between a rock and a hard place. I know the rule. Admit he's mine, and I'm culpable for whatever he's done. And I know at the very least he's escaped the OSG without authorization. At worst, he's committed some capital crime that calls for a floating. No way do I want to get caught in the middle of that. No, actually, I finally say, my voice displaying my defeat. He was a stowaway.
Good thing,
Overshine says, taking me more gently by the elbow than before.
Come on, let's get you to the infirmary.
I decide not to say anything else, lest my emotions get the better of me and cause me to reveal more than would be prudent. But later? That's a different story. I'm definitely going to find out what they want with Macon and what they can do for Tam. And as soon as that's all wrapped up, I'm out of here. I'm getting back on my ship with my crew and my stowaway with me, and I'm heading to the nearest Alliance reunion. Chapter 27. What do you mean, my ship is gone? I'm sitting on the exam table, flexing the newly mended bones in my hand and foot. My voice is back to normal after only 30 minutes in the sarcosis capsule. Thank goodness, because I hate that thing. It makes me feel like I'm being buried alive or cryonized. It doesn't matter how many peaceful sounds they try to pump in there. All I ever hear is the sound of my approaching doom. Your second-in-command was given the opportunity to leave the area, and he took it. The girl who was helping Overshine take Macon and Tam off the ship is apparently also in charge of overseeing my recovery, a jackass of all trades. She's staring at the readings produced by the machine I've just gotten out of. Who gave him the opportunity? She looks up at me. We did. We? Are you in charge here, then? I look at her collar and see only one bar there. Corporal?
Her face takes on a hint of red, but she doesn't say anything in response. She goes back to staring at her readouts.
I want to get back on my ship now. I have things to get done there.
Like I said.
She doesn't bother to look up.
Your ship's not here anymore.
Where did they go?
I hate that I suddenly feel so lost, so abandoned, so dependent on this chick to know what's happening in my life. How am I supposed to know?
She raises her gaze to me again.
I'm not in charge around here.
I make a face at her, which has her smiling just the slightest bit before she goes back to her work. I shove myself off the edge of the machine and land on my bare feet. Give me my boots. I need to get dressed.
She taps her finger on the keypad in her hands over and over, entering some data for something.
I have no idea what.
You'll get your boots when we're done here.
We're done.
I walk over to the door and wave my hand in front of the keypad. Nothing happens. She ignores me, acting like I didn't just try to do my grand exit.
Seriously, open the door.
Busy, she says in a sing-song voice as she puts her instrument down and moves over to the array attached to the capsule. She actually has the nerve to whistle as she goes through the cleaning process. When she pulls out the disinfectant mist from a cabinet behind her and uses twice as much as necessary, heat starts to rise up my neck. The angry kind.
Sucks being low ass on the totem pole, doesn't it?
I'm not disappointed when her misting hand hesitates. Then she starts her spraying all over again, acting like I brought an alien plague in there with me. Bitch, saying I stink? I don't think so. I showered yesterday. Or was it the day before?
She's still not answering me, so I prod some more.
Yeah, and with Overshine as your boss?
Must be real bad.
She stops her misting and looks over at me.
He's a great captain. You have no idea what you're talking about.
My eyebrows go up at her obvious fan club status.
Really? Do tell, because when I knew him, he was a ruthless cheater willing to do anything to win.
She's scrubbing the capsule now, cleaning the old-school way with germ-killing towelettes. I guess my microbes are too hardcore to let the mist in the machine do all the work.
He never cheats. Ever. Is that what he told you?
I laugh.
Okay, if that's how he wants to play it.
She grits her teeth but says nothing. I hope I've given her something to think about, though, because one day I predict she'll be sorry for putting all her faith in that guy. He's too focused on making it to the top to be doing the right thing all the time. The OSG does not reward recruits with the job of captain for being all shiny and clean. He had to take some people out at the kneecaps to get where he is today. I'd be willing to bet pretty much anything on that.
You want to leave, then leave,
she says, reaching over and swiping her hand over a keypad near her. The portal to the chamber opens and I smile.
See? That wasn't so hard, was it?
There's an anteroom just beyond the door with another portal in my way. Do a girl a favor and hit that button again. She waves her hand a second time and the next door opens. I've turned to say thanks, so when I step over the threshold and run into something solid, I'm too surprised to process what it is right away. At first, I think she shut the door on me, but then I realize my face is pressed into a uniform and there's a button in my nose.
What the?
I pull back and look up into Overshine's face.
You again? Don't act so disgusted.
He looks over my head at the girl who now appears panicked.
You were going to escort her, I hope,
he says. She drops her towelette and walks quickly to the portal.
Of course, sir, I was just...
She was just going on and on about what a stand-up guy you are, so I had to get a breath of fresh air. You know how stale that shit can get. He grabs me by the upper arm and pulls me out into the corridor while lifting his gaze to address his crewmate.
Finish your work in here, and then wait for us outside.
Outside where? I hope he doesn't mean outside, outside. I didn't think to bring a dark suit with me.
Yes, sir. I'll be done in 5 minutes.
He pushes me ahead of him and walks loudly behind me. I scoot over to the side to make sure I don't get run over.
Not sure if you noticed or not, but I don't have any boots on.
You don't need any boots. My ship is clean, unlike yours.
Oh, good one. Let me see.
I put my finger on my chin.
Oh, wait. I know.
I hesitate, so my sarcastic joke will have full effect.
Oh, yeah. Well, guess what? My dick is bigger than yours. What do you say about that? He walks faster.
Shut up.
No, you shut up.
I'm pretty sure some kind of medication was pumped into the capsule back there that's making me act like I'm 8 years old again.
He says nothing, which only serves to make me angry. Where's my ship?
Gone.
Gone where?
No need to panic. When we need to find it, we will.
That makes me chilly. How's that? You put a tracker on her?
No.
I'm getting out of breath trying to keep up with him and not panic at the same time. Did you tell them to go?
We gave them the option.
Oh, right. And what was their other choice? Leave or get vaporized?
No. Leave or be boarded until you recover. I guess they didn't want that.
I lift my chin, proud they watched over our assets like that. It wouldn't do to have the OSG finding that chicken now, would it? They have orders. It's my ship, and no one has the right to board without my permission. They did the right thing.
And now it's gone, and you have no ship. Great plan. Now I see why the OSG was so broken up to lose you.
I can't tell if he's kidding or just being a dick, so I leave my comment on that for another time. Where are we going? This warship is friggin' huge. I've been on a few of them before, but I don't remember having to run long distances to get nowhere last time I was on one. I am glad it's so clean, though. My feet are pretty tender from almost never taking my boots off, and they did just go through the sarcoidosis procedure. Whatever shit my bones were getting up to at the age of 19 has now been erased. I'm almost as good as new. I'm generally not a fan of MI, but after walking around on 3 broken toes with that broken bird finger, I'm going to put those feelings aside for now. How's Tam, my engineer?
He's going to live.
We turn a corner and pass 3 people who salute before we're alone again. What's that mean? Did you have to put any AI in him?
No. We don't AI patients like him.
The way he says that makes me nervous. Patients like him? You mean with stab wounds?
Among other things.
I slow down partially because I'm tired of running behind, but also because I sense we're almost to our destination, and I want more information before we're with a big group of people and he closes up on me again. Wait, please. I huff and puff extra loud so he'll feel sorry for me. He hesitates and turns.
What's wrong?
I point at my feet. Baby skin. Huff, puff, huff, puff. Not so good on metalloid flooring. He stops and lets out a sigh of annoyance.
You'll get over it. Come on. People are waiting.
My blood goes even colder. People? What people? He turns and leaves me there, and I have to run to keep up. I'm so focused on not losing sight of him as he turns corners, I nearly crash into him when he finally stops. Damn, I say, dancing to the side. Thanks for the warning. He brushes his hand down the front of his uniform and slicks his hair back with closed fingers. Looking down at me briefly, his expression enigmatic, he says,
Try not to hate me too much.
And with that, he opens up the portal.